This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
I definitely want to leave enough room for questions. Really quick, Greg, can we go back to you and talk about, so HOAs and CC&Rs are something that we need to watch out for. The mayor warned us on that. You've got a whole little HOA area. Can HOAs decide that they'd like to, I'm asking this personally, I have an HOA that of course is upside down, built in the late 70s. It's been horribly mismanaged, and they've got a lot of land on it. I want to pitch building 3 to 5 houses, and I didn't think about the ADU thing. Where would we start that process if we own condos and want to talk to, is it planning? Would we go to you and be like, hey, we've got this HOA, can we build more?
Well, it's an agreement, obviously, amongst the HOA members, so you'd have to change whatever your laws are.
Okay.
And the city doesn't really factor in. We have people come in all the time that say, you know, I want to build an ADU. We look up the property. We say, oh, you're part of the HOA. Do you allow it? And they're like, well, I don't know. We don't meet. We don't talk. I don't know what the bylaws are.
So I just have to convince the board?
Yeah, that's all it is.
So many good ideas. Okay. But CC&Rs, so does anybody see a rush to CC&Rs? Like, quick, get rid of the ADUs before they happen. Has anybody heard examples of that, of people rushing to change HOAs or CC&Rs to lock it down?
Well, there's one bill that was proposed to address that.
Okay.
But changes in the future not go retroactive with CC&Rs.
Oh.
Essentially, it is an agreement between private parties, and this law does not prevail or trump agreements between private properties when they sign on to the CC&Rs.
Okay, fair enough. California Coastal Commission, I live in the Inland Empire, so this doesn't change me, but what should people be aware of as they get closer to the coast? Are there different rules that they can overlay on top of state law that would cause ADUs to be an issue?
With the updated ADU law, the only thing that changed in that one section was they changed second units to ADUs, and there was no change, no power, anything taken away from the Coastal Commission. The best thing to do is to call your district office for the Coastal Commission and ask where they are. A lot of the jurisdictions will have LCPs, and a lot of them haven't been updated yet. Some of them are updating. Best, again, those, contact the commission.
Okay. You have a great resource. What's the website? Is that where they can find that book again?
I don't think that there's a reference in the booklet for the Coastal Commission, but just...
I'm sorry, the big ADU book that you have at your department on how to get started.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. It gives a history of it, and it gives a lot of frequently asked questions. It gives the intent, and you really don't want to get into the law at the end just because...
It's very cumbersome.
And John, you've got a book that I would like people to know that exists as well. It's a really simple read. It's Where to Get Started. If we can talk real quick, if somebody's interested in getting started, where would you recommend they start?
Well, this pertains to site-built as well as manufactured. Anybody that's interested and doesn't really have a lot of understanding, I basically published a guide, and I based it on what I have to go through as a contractor and a manufactured home dealer when I'm out on a site previewing it or trying to, let's say, qualify it for an ADU. And it's on our website, crestbackyardhomes.com. On the right-hand side of every page is a little tab that says ADU Guide. There is a price for it, but it's waived tonight for anybody sitting in this room that would like to take advantage of it. It's an 8-step, 12-page guide that will give you a step-by-step, blow-by-blow, detail-by-detail description on how you go about adding an ADU to your property. It's pretty comprehensive in 8 easy steps. CrestBackyardHomes.com. On every page, there's an ADU guide tab on the right.
It's just highly recommended. It's really good.
We're having a lot of success with that. It's saved a lot of people a lot of money. Put it this way. It's cost anywhere from about $5,000 to $5,000, whether you hire a consultant, an architect, or a design building contractor. You're going to spend money to get to the permit counter. They're not going to go out on the job site, spend a lot of time surveying your property for free. They're going to want to get paid a fee for service. If you go through this step by step, answer all those questions for yourself. Some of them are pretty complicated. You may get to a point where, I don't want to do this anymore. That's when you bring somebody in to help you finish it out. But if you do have the savvy to go through it step by step, you're going to save yourself quite a bit of money.
And I just wanted to add, too, that the City of Encinitas has a guidebook that we produced as part of our Housing for Generations, so it has some of that similar information. And also give props to two other municipalities that we either researched while doing ours or actually worked with throughout the process, and that was the City of Santa Cruz has a great guidebook that is universal for anyone, and also the County of San Mateo. They have a really interesting guidebook as well as far as resources out there.
Aaron, also, I'm going to be sending Lenska a link to the County of San Diego as a tip. They just updated their ADU code. And so, for example, ADUs have to share the same setbacks that a primary residents have. That's a big change and difference from other municipalities in the county. But I just wanted to take a moment and talk about unpermitted and coming out of the darkness. There are tax implications for that. And so, actually, at the assessor's office, we don't care whether a structure was permitted or unpermitted, but the municipalities do. So you have to be careful when you are bringing it up to code. But what we care about is whether or not when the property was purchased, whether the structure existed. So if you had purchased a structure, a home, and there was a back structure that you're turning into an ADU, we consider that part of the economic unit, whether it was permitted or not. And so we don't look to charge additional taxes. But if you bought a property and then added a structure later on, and we didn't know about it, and then you're bringing it online, we'll go back as far as 8 years on back taxes. So just to kind of be fair, the good news is, if let's say you bought a property in 1950 and then you added the building in 1951, we'll assess it based on the time that it came online.
Okay.
So we won't go and say, well, that structure today is worth $1 million, but we'll say when it was built, it was $25,000. That will be the base year value, and under Prop 13, we'll have the same protections. But we can't go back as far as 8 years for property taxes.
Okay.
And I'm just going to say one last thing. As the taxpayer rights advocate, I come across this issue all the time where people get great advice from government. They always make the mistake of getting that great advice, they're not getting it in writing. It was said on stage tonight, if you don't have it in writing, it's not worth a darn thing. I'm going to be honest about it.
That's
so
great.
If the city doesn't have it in writing, if the county doesn't have it in writing, if you're at the counter, get it in writing, and that will protect you. I just had somebody tonight come up and say they were working on bringing something back online, and we were going to get these fees waived when we spoke to them on the phone. And then they showed up, and it was $14,000. And
yeah.
I said, well, if you didn't have it in writing, a government code generally says we have to honor what's in writing. And so that is my number one piece of advice for you tonight.
Just some fun little stuff. Yes, thank you. If you're doing rehabs and doing flips, always check with your local utility. The rebates, you're going to be in there doing anything, replacing windows, adding new appliances, and if you're building an ADU, they may go ahead and extend some of those rebates into the ADU as well. So when I redid my house, even though it was built in 05, I ended up getting over, I think it was over $4,000 back for some of the stuff that I did, energy efficiency kind of stuff. A lot of cities are also having grants if you're willing to take in a specific clientele in the ADU, housing the homeless short term. You just never know what's going to pop up. Maybe veterans in need. So some of the nonprofits are getting very creative. I had a conversation with a veterans group out of LA that this is all they're doing. They're even training former veterans to build these ADUs, sort of like a work program, and they're blowing up and they asked for funding from us. So just stay plugged in to the local communities. If you're planning to build these in a city that you don't live in, it can get political, and you just need to know where to start. Always available for questions as well, but let's open it up and do some questions because this is a really great panel.
If you have some questions, why don't you line up over here? We'll start, just line up behind me. Leo, I'll let you go first.
Thank you all tonight. Really great stuff. Local builder, developer, from the City of Encinitas standpoint and well as county, most of us in the room isn't about the aspects of how to. It's about how fast we can. So from the speed aspect, especially Encinitas or county, even though you've got pre-approved plans, you still got a long process to get that stamp set. What are you doing, as well as what is the county doing, to make this more efficient and quicker? What I mean by quicker, we want it in 30 days. If you vetted a set of plans and the structural's great and architectural is great, everything is great, mechanics are great, why can't that be stamped in 30 days?
So the goal of the Permit Ready program was to have it approved in 2 weeks. We are so overwhelmed right now in our planning department as far as reviews go that the Permit Ready ones, we're looking at about 4 weeks right now. We're close to that 30-day time frame. Those. Our other ADUs, because of the amount of work that's going through our office, are definitely still in the for an ADU, probably 4 to 6 month range. So
right.
I totally understand that crunch time delay issue.
And it's the same with the county as well. I don't know if you know anything about the development or planning department, but we in this room, we want that speed. So if we go through your process and pick those plans, will you be able to expedite that? Or will you offer a fee to expedite that?
A fee would be another discussion. But like I said, we're certainly pushing for that. The goal is 2 weeks on those okay. permit ready.
Yep. I had a question too, if people could buy your plans from other cities.
So we've been in discussion with other municipalities. They're not necessarily buying our plans.
Okay.
Because the ones that we ended up getting through that RFP process are stamped and behind our counter.
Ah, okay.
So those are for residents of the city of Encinitas to come get. That's not to say that someone couldn't go download the plans and have somebody else look at them or that's willing to stamp them. There's all kinds of other legalities out there for the architecture
world. Are they on your website?
World. Yeah, the plans are downloadable from the website.
They're public.
Yeah, they're public.
They're public record.
Yeah.
And the architect won't mind?
Well, we paid them to have them behind our counter and to put them available online, but you're still going to run into issues. Nobody from another municipality will be able to take those plans that are not stamped because the ones that are online are not stamped to another municipality without getting them either run through some other approval process as far as a licensed structural engineer, architect, something like that.
Okay.
So I would say I work with 18 jurisdictions across the county, all the cities as well as the county services. There is not a city or a county department that doesn't want to do it faster and isn't have the will to do that. I would say a lot of folks are watching the city of Encinitas and looking to see how that is playing out and looking at similar development of those plans. I know the city of San Diego said, I just was talking to them and they're like, it's a great idea. They're a little bit more gun-shy on the liability attached to some of the pre-planned, but everybody's trying to get there faster, better. It's not for lack of will.
I live in La Mesa, and I know that La Mesa just recently changed their ADU ordinance, and I know there's nobody up here from La Mesa. Really wish there was.
They have a council meeting.
They have a council meeting. I was wondering, does anybody up here know or have any information about what I should be aware of in terms of their new ordinances?
Well, I'll say, I know La Mesa was looking at Encinitas plans, and the council member and the staff member were looking at our website and saying, why don't we just take theirs? And I know that they have as liberal an approach in terms of their desires. I don't know specifically where they are.
They allow 30-day rentals. They allow no covered parking areas required for any single-family house in La Mesa. Everyone that has a garage can be converted to an ADU, and they can have less than 30-day rentals to create additional income for that city. And so there's a lot of income potential for the city of La Mesa because I live there.
I think the most notable portion about La Mesa's ADU, it's the only jurisdiction where I saw where the square footage of the ADU could be larger than the primary resident. And so while you go to, I think, almost every other jurisdiction across the San Diego is subscribed to the 1,200 square feet or 50% of the primary residence, which tends to be following the state rules. La Mesa is the only jurisdiction that allows you to go above that. So it's going to be really interesting to watch and see how that development plays out.
And I might just add from a conventional lending perspective, once that accessory, that ADU, exceeds the size, the GLA of the primary dwelling, that does trigger some issues. So in terms of conventional mortgage lending, be aware of that.
I just wanted to say that a private mortgage lenders probably wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's alternatives to conventional lending. You just need to find yourself a hard money or a private mortgage lender.
Somebody also mentioned incentives for a special population, maybe seniors or affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
You're going to have to plug into the nonprofit community. I'm on the board of 211 of Riverside County. I know housing has been on over 30% of our calls for the last 3 years. We also run the suicide hotline. Just plug into the nonprofit community and see what's there, because some of them are just doing some really interesting things, and sometimes it's city by city. Do you know of any countywide info?
Community Housing Works does a great job leading the down payment assistance programs. They also have a great breakdown on their website that's Community Housing Works of each jurisdiction's incentive programs. So that includes down payment assistance. San Diego is trying to launch for the city an incentive program for their officers, and you're going to see military-specific programs. But if you want to get a good grasp of all 18 jurisdictions, they have the best layout and the best pre-accreditation programs.
I would just add quickly, Fannie Mae actually has a program, I think it's called Home Action, where an accessory unit can be built and that income can be included in the income qualification process.
Home Action, you can Google.
Okay. Yeah,
I have it here.
And just the last comment, I would like to talk to you about 3D printed homes. 3D printed homes are incredibly exciting. Thank you.
They are. And the only thing I can tell you right now, I'm hoping by iSurvive Real Estate this year that we'll be able to announce it, but the first one will end up in California, hopefully by the end of the year. It's going to be 282 square feet probably. It'll be interesting to watch.
So I have a question also, and I won't mention the city, but what would you say about a city that has an ordinance that says the minimum rental time for an ADU is 6 months, but their regular rental time is 26 days? What would you say about that? Because what I understood, and maybe Craig can talk about this, is that a city could be less restrictive but not more restrictive.
I think as real estate investors, we're just going to have to know that this is going to get regulated. The intent of this law is affordable housing, and as soon as you get into the vacation rental space, it's going to be a hot mess. So I just think we as real estate investors, we should just take one for the team, and it's such a cool opportunity, we should just take it as that. But I just expect almost every city to outlaw short-term rentals as part of this process.
Yeah. The other thing in that regards, we're seeing a lot of the jurisdictions step away from owner-occupied.
Yep.
And so County of San Diego in March just stepped away from that. You don't have to be owner-occupied, but check in with your jurisdiction.
If they do that, I'm fine. As long as there's a non-owner-occupied across the board, I'd be super excited.
I believe one of the new laws working in the Assembly is
SB 13. Yes. SB 13 would allow get rid of the owner-occupancy right. requirement, but then you have cities that are coming on and saying, okay, well, you just can't rent the ADU to somebody separate from the primary. So they're still overlaying nonsense.
Check.
Thank you very much to the whole panel for being here. A lot of great information being shared tonight. I have a home in Encinitas, and the first thing I think about in doing the ADU is a septic issue. I have a septic tank. That kind of was brushed over this evening. Can anyone elaborate further on dealing with septic?
So for septic, you would just have to go to the county health department and determine whether or not your current system has capacity.
So it's the same rules. It's just going to be adding more bathrooms and
Well, the biggest problem coming up with ADUs and septic from the county is if you do have to expand your space, they are requiring additional safe space. So the double set-aside space that you have, it's causing an inhibition for folks to actually build their ADUs. So be careful with the additional set-aside space that you need for the septics. And in addition to the regulation there, I'd also say, and this isn't specifically for septic, but the fire departments actually have a lot of say, and the fire authorities on the ADUs, so the county folks really wanted to express, if when you're checking in for your ADUs, make sure you're stopping by your fire authority in whatever jurisdiction you're in and making sure you're complying with those rules, because they do supersede the municipal jurisdictions and the county jurisdiction rules.
Thank you.
Quarantine.
Thank you. So I've got a couple questions about separate metering and separate addresses for ADUs.
I'm so glad you asked that. I was going to ask the same thing.
Okay.
Jeff, we're all looking at you.
Yeah, right? So, well, for addressing, that can actually both of those issues can be determined by your municipality.
Okay.
For the city of Encinitas, our addressing is we just do unit one, unit two. That's how they're all going to be done. For the metering, we leave it up to the property owner. So if you want to just tie into your main, then you can do that. But if you want to keep it separate, let's say you have a renter, that makes a lot of sense, then you can go ahead and do a separate meter.
Okay, so if there is no municipal ordinance and we're just going off of the state mandate, then what would that be?
The address rules are actually governed under fire rules, and so the fire rules allow you to get an address to be more specific in all jurisdictions, I believe. And so whether you want to be a half or a full, or you can work that out with your local fire authority. The county did require separate metering, but they just removed that restriction as of March of this year. So that could be done by each local jurisdiction and their own particular rules.
Does that change any lending rules depending on if you separate?
Fannie and Freddie have both chimed in here more recently, and multiple addresses, multiple meters do not impact the conventional mortgage lending process.
Great, thank you.
Good.
Just something else, though, that the Water Authority sent my way the other day was there are new tools out in the private sector to allow you to put those on the pipes. So without having to get a separate meter, which is very expensive, there's other ways for measuring water and usage. And so as ADUs become more prevalent, you'll see those tools become more prevalent for you as investors.
Great information.
Oh, at the Consumer Electronics Show, there's a company called Flow, F-L-O, and then Moen has, maybe that's Moen's. It's Flow and there's another one I'm trying to think of, but they monitor leaks. They can tell like drops. It's pretty cool. But there's one that has a specific plugin for landlords to where you can see all of your properties on one and track leaks and stuff.
Okay, I'm from Los Angeles, and a couple questions that I have. One is, in a typical suburban home, and this is probably more to Catherine, when the home is across the whole entire front of the lot with a little setback, garage is in the front, if you convert that garage to an ADU, where do you park? Other than the other part of the front of the yard, because the structure is all the way across the front of the lot.
Well, yeah, you are in some fashions forcing the parking to the street.
Part but if of you're one not of the, within the half mile.
But wasn't there one of the part of the original rule was that you had to have enough parking for what was there? It would seem if you were converting it, you'd take away that parking. I don't know. In the early days, that was one of the rules I thought was in there.
Yeah, but the state law is that if you're converting a garage and you're not expanding upon it, then you don't have to replace it.
If you're displacing the parking spaces that were in the garage, per state law alone, they need to be reconfigured someplace else on the lot. So if you didn't have spaces on either side of the house, but there was still enough between the front property line, the right-of-way line, and the front of the house to park there, that would suffice. You can never be required to replace a parking structure.
Just the parking.
I'm going to zoning and widen the apron where the driveway is if you can't accommodate
it there.
Well, that's
what we did. So I don't know in your city. So we made the envelope bigger by saying that the setbacks were smaller and changing things just for ADUs. But it would depend on what your city's done.
Okay, I understood your footprint, which leads me to John, actually. So the question I have is 600 square foot manufactured home up to 1,000, let's go to 1,200 square foot manufactured home. What is the gross vehicle weight or gross weight from Radco for that unit, for that trailer, really?
Trailer? About 20,000 pounds for a 600 square foot.
20,000 pounds, okay, so a hydraulic crane could conceptually lift all over the home.
Absolutely.
And drop it in the backyard.
All day long.
Perhaps just maybe a fun question is for Catherine, is she available to be the mayor of Los Angeles? Because you'd have my vote.
You'd never get her away from the beach.
Catherine, you got an extra job if you need one now.
Thank you. I'm in North County, and I wonder if you could say Vista, Oceanside, Carlsbad, are they moving progressively in this area too?
Vista is. Vista. I believe Oceanside is too. Oceanside, I've got to tell you, has probably the best animated video of the whole ADU process. If you go on their website and just punch in ADU, it'll pop up. It's fantastic. I thought the city of Oceanside was here tonight with that as one of the exhibits, but if you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It's the best.
Is somebody here from Oceanside? No? All right. Go ahead.
Okay. I live in Ramona. And in Ramona, there are lots of land and lots of unpermitted outbuildings everywhere. And that would stop people from thinking they could put an ADU on their homes because they would be afraid of having to tear them down or whatever. Does that happen? I mean, if you were to put an ADU on your property and you have an old outbuilding on your property, what happens? I know that's not just my question. Our neighbors, we've talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, the county's not going out and requiring folks to tear them down, but if you bring them up to code and you bring them online.
Old quantities things.
Yeah, so again, if you're retrofitting a current structure and bringing it up to code and you're getting it permitted, you're going to owe some back taxes potentially for that. But the county does flyovers throughout the entire county of San Diego. So we see when structures are being added and when structures are coming down.
Really?
And so...
Are you giving them access to drones?
But if they were there when you purchased the property and you're just bringing them online, there's a desire for housing. Nobody's opposing housing. We just want safe housing.
Are you saying that you're going to leave that structure there and you want to build an ADU and you just want to make sure if they go on there, they're like, well, what's that?
Well, do they go, go look around and say...
So if they left that old structure there alone...
The
and
answer
they
built, is yes. I will put that in writing.
Always Linska.
If you bring code enforcement out to your property, they're going to look around and see what violations might be there. And someone once explained to me, getting permitted is not necessarily a cost, but it's a safety precaution for you and a protection that somebody else is looking into the work that was done on your property. So there's different ways to look at it. But again, there's going to be no hidden surprises. If you had something built after you bought the property and you bring it online, when the permit gets processed, because that's when folks want to know when does the taxes take place or when does the assessment get placed on. So once you get permitted, the city sends us the permit at the County of San Diego, and then we work it. So if you upgraded a building and you did a permit because you're bringing in a kitchen and you're adding different items that require a permit, the County Planning Division will send that to us, and then we'll come out and work it So within 6 to 8 months, that will get added to your property tax bill. So that's the communication. If you do something that doesn't require a permit, generally it doesn't come across our desk as far as the tax assessor is concerned.
I should mention there are companies. I know, is Ian Scattergood still here? No, he left. There are companies that will come out and look at a property and help you go through that and get it permitted properly. Okay?
We'll send out a vendor list to whoever was here today with your link and other materials.
Thank you. California, we're famous for dueling statues, kind of conflicting statutes. What's happening, and maybe HCD knows this, I've heard that in 2020, maybe it is, where the net zero, where you're going to have to put solar on any new building permits, does that going to affect ADUs?
Good question.
And
good question.
With timeline being a constraint, so if it's taking 4 months to get a permit or something, then are any homes that are in process, are they going to now have to have solar on the existing unit and the ADU?
I've been looking at getting that information from the California Energy Commission for a while, and I think I may have mentioned, if I didn't, they have a bulletin that they put out every once in a while, and they had in their bulletin from 2018, I think it was a January to March edition, they covered ADUs and where they were going to need to be complying with the current code. And it says if it's attached to the existing dwelling or created within, it's an addition. And there are exemptions there. If it's a brand new structure, it will need to comply with the energy code that's in place at the time. Beyond that, it gets into a whole nother set of rules. And I strongly recommend everyone contact the California Energy Commission on that. They have looked at ADUs, and they have addressed it.
So, like Mayor Blakespear, if someone has a new permit starting 2020, are you required to have solar on that new ADU?
Typically, the way we handle something, when a new law comes into effect, if it's already been submitted and it's in the permitting process, we don't. It doesn't affect that permit. So, yeah, we wouldn't go back and change something that
but
was already permitted.
Everything
or
taking
submitted.
As long as it's taking. A lot of people like start at the end of the year, then they don't have their permit yet, or
if it's in progress. So okay. Once you've made that first submittal and the reviews are starting on it, you're in the system, and they're not going to come back with any new laws on top of it.
Get those solar rebates while they're good. They're gone.
Right. We're going to have a few more here, and then we'll cut
it
off.
Get in the night.
Hi, I'm Bill Roberts. I'm a real estate broker, North County. And I had a question. John, my friend, pointed out that Oceanside recently adopted an ADU plan. I'm very interested in Oceanside, so I went there and looked at their plan. And they have a coastal exemption where they do not allow ADUs. And I want to know if that's legal.
We'd have to really take a look at that. It depends on how much area they would exclude. For an extreme example, if they excluded the city, that would be a prohibition. It all depends what it is, and that question would probably, we'd have to work with the Coastal Commission on that also. But if
that's
they,
prime area.
Understood. Yeah. It goes sort of back a little bit to the minimum lot size. If a jurisdiction said 12,000 square foot minimum lot size, but they didn't have any lots less than 12,000 square feet, it would be a prohibition. It all depends what the size of the impact is for that condition.
Can they outlaw ADUs in that whole strip?
They are allowed by state law to designate areas where ADUs are allowed. It's just how far do they go with that?
Okay, thank you.
I was going to also mention that I have found some help by calling some of the senator's staffs with a question like that. And they've been very helpful in most cases by giving some information.
Just on the last question on the solar requirement, I believe it's just on new homes, and I just looked it up again to confirm, but I believe the solar requirements on new homes, not on current existing homes that are in stock. New construction.
If it's a detached new ADU, it looks like it's required.
Okay.
Yes, it will.
So I have another question, and this is related to PACE loans. So something that I'm seeing in Los Angeles is a number of contractors are promoting zero down, no payments for 12 to 18 months on your ADU. And they're doing this through PACE loans, which my understanding is that you're not supposed to get a PACE loan. I mean, PACE loans don't necessarily cover an ADU, but what I'm hearing is that the reps for some of the companies that do these PACE loans, the reps are actually approaching the contractors and saying, if you itemize out all of the energy efficient things that you're doing for your ADU, we can apply the loan toward that. And I'm just wondering, is that common practice? Is that legitimate? Are PACE loans only supposed to be for retrofitting, or are they also for new construction?
If it smells of energy efficiency, they're going to get away with it. But other lenders on the panel, do you like PACE loans? We do not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, for one, I don't have a lot of experience.
PACE loans are, what does this stand for?
It's a lien that's put on your property for title standpoint. It's a lien that's put on your property that shows up as a lien, and it has to be paid off.
But it attaches to your property taxes. Correct. And it's supposed to be used for things like replacing with an energy efficient roof, windows,
solar, things like that.
Insulation, solar.
You might have gotten calls from folks that say, they'll ask you questions like, do you have solar, do you need energy efficient windows, and so forth.
But it's a superior position than your first. So a lot of lenders don't like it. So if you're trying to sell your property, then there's a PACE loan in place. The new lender for the takeout loan may require that PACE loan to be paid off. Because a lot of them were, go ahead. PACE, like PACE, or in Riverside, it's called the HERO program, HERO.
It stands for Property Assessed Clean Energy.
See? Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
The lawyer.
I would have nothing. Aaron addressed that. It creates issues if you want to get a conventional mortgage loan of any type, because that does oftentimes take superiority.
Yeah.
It will also affect your ability to get a private money loan, too.
Leonard has a question or something.
There's several Wall Street Journal articles about them and the companies that run them. I would Google them and read those articles before you take out a PACE loan.
The PACE providers are coming back to jurisdictions like the county asking for an expansion of the PACE product for ADUs. But if you're doing a retrofit of a garage, I have seen PACE loans used in those circumstances, and those do seem to fit within the jurisdiction's allowance.
I had a grandmother that decided to get a roof on a 1,400 square foot house, and the insulation on the roof ended up costing over $16,000. It was way out of line. There has not been enough checks and balances, in my opinion. So for the leaders that matter, I think they're terrible, and they target seniors, and I think it's a huge problem. I think it's terrible.
All right, we have our last question.
Okay. Okay, being from Los Angeles, and again, Catherine, still giving you an opportunity here. Avon approach, right? I'm back. Rent control. Do you have rent control in Encinitas? And is there rent control in San Diego or San Diego County? I haven't heard anything about rent control.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
And I'll ask my questions and then you can run. In Los Angeles, anything built prior to 1978 is subject to rent control. If you put an ADU on your property, and I'll ask the tax man, if you put an ADU on your property and you get a C of O in 2019 or 2020 or anytime current, how are you addressing that? Is that unit subject to rent control? It's exempt from rent control because it's 2019, but the primary structure is subject to rent control because it's pre-78, and then how do the lenders address that, Aaron?
Good question. And,
right? So because now you got a lot of funk involved in this thing and a lot of people involved and nobody's really sure how to address this. So
I'm waiting for somebody to say it.
Rent control. We understand it depends. Yes,
we do not have it.
Is there any future projections for rent control? Any buzz?
No, there's no political will for that in Encinitas.
So actually, you have to break it down. So there is rent control throughout San Diego County in various jurisdictions. You mostly see it in mobile home parks and senior citizens. So Santee has it. You can look in other jurisdictions and find it. If you're talking about the greater scale applied to everybody rent control, the housing crisis rules actually limit how much you can actually increase your rent percentage by. But as rent control in the way that I think most people think about it, and that was just on the ballot, it was defeated in National City, which is the only jurisdiction that tried to have a companion legislation to the state legislation, which failed. So as a general, in the rent control across every piece of property in it, we don't have that in San Diego County. But in minor pockets, there are versions of rent control, especially with sensitive populations.
Okay, so for our HCD state...
Can I just chime in? Is there is a bill that's active right now in the state legislature for statewide rent control. I think they just bumped it up to 7% increase per year. But I think they also got in a... it's only going to apply if the property owner, the landlord, owns 10 properties or more. So for those of us who don't own 10 properties.
Lots of entities. Lots and lots of entities.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
exactly. You're all thinking it.
It's a bill and it's not law yet, but there is real appetite for statewide rent control. So, yeah. I mean, just because there isn't any now, I don't think anybody who ever wants to be a landlord should breathe easy.
Combine that with 1031 exchange rule possible changes.
On your lending question, typically the mortgage lending function is the value of the collateral is based on the market reaction, how they perceive what their reaction is towards those rent controls. Directly, it doesn't. It will impact, of course, the value of that collateral for a mortgage lending decision.
For hard money, we're just looking at the value of what the appraisal come back. It's not about the income. So we would have that be up to you.
All right, thanks.
If I could just throw out one last thing for fun. If you're bringing a tiny home on your property, make sure you register that with the DMV.
Correct.
It is not an improvement as far as the assessor's office is
concerned. All right.
And I know some cities are wrapping those into their, Riverside just did that, so you can do tiny homes as part of their ordinance. They built it in.
All right.
So.
Well, folks, let me thank all of you personally. I want to shake your hand. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Aaron, wonderful job. John.
Thank you for coming.
You guys, Catherine. Folks, thank you so much for doing this. I thought it was outstanding. Great moderator. Great comment, and I think, did everybody learn something?
Yeah.
All right, next round of applause. Thank you very much.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.